Will the red heifers be ready for this coming Passover in 1 month from now? And Bible prophecy is accelerating once again. We're going to talk about it on today's program. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, guys, we're here. It's Friday, March 8th. We are wrapping up this week of podcast with a prophetic viewpoint. We've got a good one lined up for you today. Get you a Bible. You're going to want to follow along with us today. Get you a cup of coffee, some sweet tea, a soda, or whatever you prefer, some water. We're going to get into some stuff today that I think you're going to find intriguing and exciting all at the same time. Now, before we get started, again, this is End Time Headlines. If you're new, this is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And we want to welcome you to tonight's program. Listen, if you've come on YouTube and you're in the chat or on Rumble or wherever you can comment, please let us know that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. We want to acknowledge you and we want to thank you for joining us. And we hope that you'll come back and that you'll be blessed by this program. Again, all of you guys that are watching, don't forget to hit that like button, smash that subscribe button, that bell notification, all of that. This helps push our material out there and lets others enjoy the content just like you do. Also, if you don't know yet, we do have a free app, and it is available on both Android and Apple devices. It is absolutely free to you. Download it today. Once you do that, hit yes to push notifications. And right at your fingertips, you're going to have every headline and every podcast like this right at your convenience. And we want to officially welcome everybody out there in podcast land, Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast and listen to End Time Headlines. We welcome you. We appreciate you coming on the program. Again, don't forget to share our podcast on Apple and Android devices or wherever you're watching from. We appreciate that as well. So, guys, we've got a lot going on today. I want to cover two topics today. Just letting you know, before we get to the red heifers, I know a lot of you come here because you want to hear that update. We're going to kind of split this program into two halves. On the first half, we're going to show, it's all about prophecy today, but I'm going to show you how we're going to tie all this together. In fact, let's do that right now. Let's go to the book of Daniel. I want you to go to the book of Daniel chapter 9. Very familiar passages for you guys who are into prophecy, eschatology, end times, the study of end times, whatever you want to call it. In the book of Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, the prophet of the Lord saw something that would be a future event, and he writes all this down in the book of Daniel. You see all this. It is written here in the book of Daniel about what Daniel saw. And here's what it says. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people, the prince who is to come is a reference of the Antichrist who is to come. When this man comes, he shall destroy the city, that's Jerusalem, and the sanctuary. Now he's talking about the temple here in Jerusalem. The end of it shall be with a flood, and till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now he's referencing something again that Paul gets into, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. Then, verse 27 of Daniel 9, he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. In Hebrew, that's 7 years. But in the middle of the week or in the middle of the 7 years, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. Now look at this. And on the wing, and I'm going to focus on this, on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Now I want you to go to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew repeats Daniel in Matthew's day when Jesus was still in the flesh. And this is what, and Jesus is speaking here. Jesus himself is speaking. Matthew writes down the account of what Christ spoke. And this is what he wrote. Verse 15, again, Matthew 24, 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, somebody say the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Now, the reason why I want you to really focus on this, because I'm going to bring out something that's going to be interesting here. Matthew writes down that Christ says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything outside of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. And then he goes on, he talks about woe to those that are pregnant, so on and so forth. Now, now there are many of the persuasion, a lot of the preterist group or partial preterists, they will tell you, and I'm telling you, they believe this, that this was fulfilled in around 167 BC when a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes, who was the king of Syria, captured Jerusalem, again in 167 BC, went into the temple in Jerusalem, desecrated a pig by sacrificing it on the altar to Zeus. And they will tell you this was what Daniel saw in Daniel 9, and what he repeated in Matthew 24 and called it the abomination of desolation. And then when an individual saw that, that they would flee to the mountains. Now, the problem with that, now, did this occur in history with Antiochus Epiphanes? Yes. Was that a desecration in the temple? Yes. But was it the fulfillment of what Daniel saw that Jesus refers to, that Matthew wrote about, that is a future event? I believe the answer is no. Now, again, not to cast too much confusion here, but you've heard me talk about this before. I believe many things that we read about prophetically, future tense events, were in some way, some form, either taking place prematurely or they were a shadow of things to come. They were like a prelude. You've heard me talk about this. For example, the image of the beast, Revelation 13, which, by the way, I believe is what Daniel was referring to in Daniel 9:27, and what Jesus was referring to in Matthew 24, which is the abomination of desolation. And he, because remember, Matthew wrote, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. So whatever this thing is that desecrates the temple, it makes it unholy, it defiles the temple, it's called an abomination. It will be, Daniel said it will be, and Matthew said it will be standing in the holy place. And watch this. And then Daniel says, he gives you even more clues. He says that this thing will be standing on the wing of the temple in Daniel 9:27. I believe that what they're referring to here is the image of the beast, Revelation 13. Now, don't miss what I'm saying here. All of this, I'm trying to point something out here. Now, let me go back to what I'm saying. When I told you about prophetic previews of things that were fulfilled in times past that happen again in the future, one of them is the image of the beast. I brought this out on other programs that we've talked about. Daniel, in Daniel's day, Nebuchadnezzar instructed the people who created this image, and he commanded the people, the governors, all everyone of that nation of those days to bow down and worship this image. And if they didn't, they were met with fierce consequences. We see that in the book of Daniel chapter 3. Then you go over here to Revelation 13, and we see this same scenario happening again in a future tense event. You see the false prophet come into power, working with the Antichrist. He commands the people of the world, come on, it's the same thing, to create this image of the beast, which will speak and live, and there will be a demonic power that will be granted to the false prophet to be able to cause this image of the beast to both speak and live. And again, and it will, in Revelation 13, it's going to happen in Jerusalem, in the temple, and thus, I think it's going to fulfill Daniel 9:27, and Matthew chapter 24. Now here's what I want to point out to you today. The common denominator are two things here. One is all of this transpires in Jerusalem. Number two, it all transpires around a temple in Jerusalem. Let me say that one more time. Number one, it all transpires in where? Jerusalem, the holy city of Jerusalem. Number two, it all transpires around a temple. Daniel talks about that. Matthew talks about that. Now I'm going to talk to you about somebody else who says this. Ready? Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2. I told you you're going to need your Bible today. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is in the context of this, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the church of Thessalonica. He's assuring them that they had not missed the coming of the Lord. There was deception in the church in that day, wherein which people were forging letters in Paul's name, telling them that they had missed the catching away, the gathering together, the harpazo, the rapture, whatever you want to call it. He had to clear this up. And this is what he's doing in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then he gets down here to verse 3. And he says, let no one deceive you. Now, this is in a letter. He tells them, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless. And now he's talking about the coming of the Lord. And he says, that's not going to happen, guys, until the falling away comes first. Now, again, this is not a teaching on this, but the term falling away, there is two major interpretations to this. The main interpretation is apostasia, where we get apostasy, apostate. He says there will be an apostate state of society that will be prominent in that time. What time? The timing of the rapture, the timing of the coming of the Lord. But there's another translation that actually refers to, and it talks about the falling away. It actually means to remove from one location to another. So some scholars even believe that this term falling away comes first, actually has a dual meaning. Means that, yes, there will be a prevalence of apostasy, but the church will be actually removed from earth to heaven. And then, watch this, look at this right on your screen. He says this will happen first. And the man of sin, now I want you to show you something here. This is all references to the Antichrist. Paul uses these terms, man of sin, son of perdition, and the lawless one. Okay, so he says, the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped. Now watch this, because look, guys, we can go on 13 rabbit trails here. We could talk about the description of the Antichrist. We could talk about that for a while. We could talk about the rapture for a while, the timing of that, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. We could talk about all this stuff, but today that's not what I want to focus on today. I want to show you that Paul, we can all agree to disagree here, because we're going to have all kinds of different, you know, people will debate what the restrainer is. People will debate, they'll debate the timing of the rapture. They'll debate all of this stuff. But here's the one thing I believe anyone with a brain and can properly read and comprehend, I want to show you the common denominator here. Ready? It says that this man of sin, son of perdition, the lawless one, will be worshipped. Now look at what it says in verse 4. He will sit as God in where? The temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So remember, what did I tell you? All of this, when you get into the revealing of the Antichrist, the abomination that makes Jerusalem desolate, the false prophet, the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, all of this stuff. Listen, there's two main themes here. One is it all centers around Jerusalem and the holy city there. Number two, it's going to transpire around the temple in Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to show you a third one. Now, I know you guys are eager to me to get into the information, get into the headlines, get into the update. But you guys know me by now. We've got to build a foundation to properly secure the structure of the message. Okay, now I'm going to give into the number three thing that I want to point out here. Let's go back to Paul's letter to Thessalonica. All right, so look here. So he confirms to the church of Thessalonica, he assures them that they had not missed the coming of the Lord. He reiterates, you're going to see this, this, and that. You're going to see the man of sin, the son of perdition, the lawless one. And then he tells them where you're going to see this individual rise up into power from. He'll be in Jerusalem, he'll be in the temple, and he'll declare himself as God himself. Okay? But look at verse 5. 2 Thessalonians 2:5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? So this implies here, guys, that this was not the first time that Paul told these things. Obviously, in private, Paul had been telling them this beforehand. And then now he's just reassuring to them, look, I'm repeating this. I've already told you this, but I'm going to tell you this again. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. Again, we could debate the restrainer, but that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. Watch this. Number three is right here in 2 Thessalonians 2:7. Excuse me, guys. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. I want you to repeat this. Ready? Ready? Go. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Stop. The mystery of lawlessness. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Translation. If you have a King James Translation, it will read, the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Now, I pulled up a blue letter Bible. I use this a lot when I reference Hebrew and Greek, and I use it for the Strong's concordances and stuff. The word iniquity means a condition of without law, or what we would call lawlessness. That's why he says the mystery of law. That's why the New King James, it wasn't a misinterpretation, because it's a proper and correct interpretation, the mystery of lawlessness. Because again, iniquity is a condition of without law, or having no law, no moral standards, no boundaries, of violating the law, or the contempt and violation of law, iniquity and wickedness. Oh, come on, guys, this is good. So Paul is telling us here that spirit, there was a demonic power behind this, was already at work in his day that was causing problems. It was causing trouble. It was causing upheaval, wickedness, immorality. I believe that spirit has been on the earth since the days of Noah and the day when the sons of God, the B'nai Elohim, the angels, when they went into the daughters of men and they bore those giants, those Nephilims, and they covered the earth. The Bible says the whole earth was filled with violence. And again, we pointed this out. The Hebrew word there for violence is Hamas. And the whole earth was filled with this. So remember, what did Jesus say? I believe it's in Luke 17. As it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man. Watch this. So listen, if you want to know, people are like, oh, well, brother, and they ask me this all the time. What do you believe are signs that we are close to this thing wrapping up? What are signs that we're close to the end time, the end of the age, and the rapture of the church and the coming of the Lord? I believe based on Daniel 9:27, Matthew 24, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, all the way back to the book of Genesis. Again, I believe the three main themes, Jerusalem, the temple, and this spirit of iniquity, lawlessness, violence, will converge together, and it will increase like birth pangs of the Messiah, and it will reach a fullness. Your Bible uses this term all the time in the New Testament. When the fullness had time had come, this and this and this would occur. It uses a lot in the New Testament. The writers of the New Testament, whether it be Paul, I believe Paul used it more than any of the writers, but he used that term, the fullness of time had come. Now, why is all this important to understand and to know? Because, again, I believe in order, look at this, for the lawless one to be made manifest, in order for him to come on the scene and thrive and deceive the masses, society has to be groomed and they have to be ready for his arrival. And I believe if there was any society, now I know they've come and gone and history repeats itself, and that which was is that which shall be again, and there's no new thing under the sun. But guys, there is variables and there is factors that play a role in here. And listen, one of them is technology. Daniel said in the last days, knowledge shall increase. Many shall run to and fro. Look at the advancement of technology. Look at artificial intelligence. Look at communications, transportation methods. All of this plays a role. And again, this is why I believe it sets our generation apart from any other generation that has come and gone in times past. But it's not just the technology. It's not just the advancement of communications. It's not just artificial intelligence. It's not all these things, just these things. It's, again, watch this. It's the growing increasement of iniquity. And as it increases, it makes society more and more susceptible to, watch this, to embrace and receive the lawless one when he comes and make his appearance. Now, I said all that. That was a 20-something minute foundation. Here's why I want to say that. Because one of the indicators, it's not just the temple and Jerusalem, all this stuff, that is the main focus. I believe so many people are focused on the temple and Jerusalem, and that's good. We should be, because they're the fig tree. Israel's the fig tree. But again, the reason why I'm pointing out this mystery of lawlessness that's abounding is because people don't realize this is the main ingredient in the batch mixing this, all this stuff up. Now, look, all my ladies that cook and you bake, you already know that there are some things that you can make, and if you leave out the one major ingredient, the whole thing just doesn't mix. It doesn't hold to one another. It will completely fall apart. It won't taste the same. It will not be the same, because that one ingredient, come on, is valuable, and it is necessary to have. So that's where the mystery of iniquity comes in. Because listen, I believe this mystery of iniquity, as it increases, that in itself is going to accelerate us and fulfill prophecy. For example, when you go back to, we were just in Matthew 24, right? When you go up a paragraph and you get into verse 9, look what Jesus said. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then there will be many that will be offended and betray one another and hate one another. Now, why is that? Because iniquity will abound. Look what he says here. And all this is a concoction that will fester and produce false prophets that will rise and deceive many. And in Matthew 24:12, he says, because what will abound? Come on, somebody talk to me. Lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold. And look what he says here. He who endures to the end shall be saved. The point I'm trying to make is, while we're all focused on the Antichrist, we're focused on the heifers, we're focused on the third temple, we're focused on the image of the beast and the false prophet, persecution of the believer is inevitable, my friend. Persecution of the believer is is inevitable, and it's going to increase. And I'm telling you, I have sounded the alarm for years. All of my people from the West that are listening, we do not understand, nor can we comprehend, nor have we endured true biblical persecution like our brothers and sisters do outside of the West. We're persecuted on social media. We're persecuted at our jobs. We're outcasted socially, communication cut off. This is the level of persecution that we are accustomed to. But again, you get outside of the West, and I'm talking about real persecution where it can result in incarceration, fines, imprisonments, and even death. Now, I have said it's not a matter of if, but when that stuff comes here to our shores, knocking on our door and sitting on our couch in our front living room. For example, there was a report that came out recently. This was by the Washington Stand, and they reported on how China is now taking a page from the Nazi playbook in its tactics against the church there in China. In 1939, the Institute for the Study and Eradication of Jewish Influence on German Church Life was founded by pro-Nazi theologian Walter Grundmann, located at the University of Jena, the institution from which Karl Marx received his doctorate. The goal of the institute, it was to demonstrate that Jesus was actually an Aryan, Mary was a descendant of Assyrians, and Jesus' real father was a Roman soldier. The Institute produced a book titled Germans with God, which was a German, which eliminated all references to the Hebrew prophets foretelling of Jesus and presented his life as an effort to fight against the Jewish people in the Palestine of his day under the British mandate prior to the establishment of 1948. In this book that they wrote, it was completely absolute blasphemy. They removed all references referring miracles, the virgin birth, the resurrection of Christ, and so forth, and favored the position of Jesus as a mere human being who struggled on behalf of God. Now you say, what's this got to do with China? Listen, under the dictatorship of President Xi, they have now, the Chinese government and Chinese Communist Party is putting forth efforts into making religion to be more compatible with the teachings of the CCP or the Chinese government. In this plan, it includes Xi's plans to, quote, retranslating and annotating the Bible in a consecrated effort to find commonalities with socialism and establishment a correct understanding of the text. One example that has reached the West, now that I got your attention, is a retranslation of the story in John chapter 8 about Jesus and the woman caught in adultery. Now, we've talked about this. If this sounds familiar to you, it's because we've covered this in another podcast, but all this ties into with where I'm at today. This translation identifies Jesus as a sinner and then stones the woman himself. Again, absolute blasphemy. But again, this stuff, guys, why am I talking about this? You say, well, this is China. This is not the West. Listen, I'm going to say it again. The more you dumb down a society, when you go from one generation to the next generation to the next generation, the more illiterate they become, the more biblically illiterate they become, the more ignorant they are of the Bible, the more susceptible they are to deceive. So think about it, guys. If you've got a whole generation that doesn't know the Bible, they don't know the story of the Old Testament. They don't know the Torah. They don't know the law. They don't know the prophets. They don't know the stories of Jesus, the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels. They don't know any of this stuff because it's been suppressed from them. It's been shamed on. It's been laughed at. It's been mocked. It's been ridiculed. And God only knows how much time we got and how far in the future we will go. And to say or to imply that that could never happen here in America again, I believe you're being arrogant and you're being naive. So watch this. When you get a generation that is ignorant of the Bible, if a government, whoever that government is, whoever that leadership is that rises to power of that day, begins to do this very thing, if you've got a whole generation that don't know the Word of God and they reprint, retranslate, and redistribute the Bible with all these revisions in it, removing the miracles, removing the deity of Christ, removing him as the Messiah, removing him as the Son of God, and making up these blasphemic, these stories that are blasphemy, then you'll have generations that will embrace this. Here was a story that this came up last month. Look at the headline here. Preteens, now this is talking about here in America, the preteens are rejecting several biblical teachings. Again, according to a new survey, more and more preteens are rejecting biblical teachings. I'm going to read this. A prominent Christian researcher is warning that we are on the precipice of Christian invincibility in this nation. What is he talking about here? In a statement released last week, or again, at the time of this publication, the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University shared data about the worldviews held by the children between the ages of 8 and 12 years of age. The Cultural Research Center contrasted the views of the preteens with those of parents of children younger than 13, pastors of Christian churches, and teenagers. The findings of the research are based on responses from 400 preteens collected in December of 2022. 600 parents of children younger than 13 gathered in January of 2022. 600 pastors of Christian churches collected in February of 2022, 400 teens gathered in November and December of 2022, and January 2023 survey of 2,000 adults. When they were asked if they believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to experience eternal salvation, based on confessing your sins and relying upon his forgiveness of your sins, only 36% of preteens answered in the affirmative, 34% of parents, and 54% of children's pastors said the same. 25% of preteens agreed that the Bible is the true word of God that should be a guide to knowing right from wrong and living a good life. Only 25%. So again, now this was recent. What's going to happen 10 years, again, God forbid the Lord tarries 10 years from now, 20 years from now, another generation from now. I'm telling you, again, these are all signs. And let me go back to the original foundation of what we're talking about. As we know what this is going to open the door. If you don't believe that the Bible is inherently the Word of God, if you don't believe it is infallible, if you don't believe it is the guidepost of all morality and society, and you remove it, you take this and you remove it and take it out of the way, you know what you're doing? You're setting the stage for lawlessness, iniquity that will abound again. And it gives, all of this gives credence to what I'm talking about today. So look at this report. This is why China's doing this. They understand this. Look at this quote, Chinese government cracks down on leading Christian prayer app, bans it from download. Now, can you see how this could play out in the West? You know, because there's already, listen, there's podcasters and pundits and voices out there that our government has already cracked down. They've banned their apps. They've banned their programs. They've banned them off YouTube, banned them off Facebook. So don't tell me this can't happen. So now, according to this report from FaithWire, Christian apps are now on the chopping block of China's communist government. The latest app to face the axe is Pray.com, which is a platform filled with faith-based content, daily Bible reading plans, and spiritual development programs. So according to this report, China is cracking down on all this. You can't even get it. You can't download it. You can't find it on the app store at all. And again, look, let's just take this from a political view. Look what they've done. Look what they did to Donald Trump in the last election, after the last election. Look what they did to people like, look, and you may not agree with them, you may disagree with them, but look what they did to Alex Jones. They completely washed him from YouTube, Facebook. You can't download. If you have Apple devices, you can't find InfoWars. You can't find all this stuff. Again, what am I talking about? I'm talking about, this is the same government. If you actually think they're not going to come for anyone and any organization and any group that is a threat, and I could use a term right here that they constantly use, but I'm not, but anything that poses a threat to them, they will make a point to, again, cut off, suppress, ban, deplatform, remove, and just wipe you off the internet. Your digital fingerprint will be completely removed. Now, I want to show you a story coming out of Canada. Now, our brothers and sisters in Canada are already dealing with this. They can't even read news anymore. We post up on Facebook, they can't even read it because the Canadian government has banned them from reading news on Facebook. Okay? So look at, but that's a drop in a bucket. I want you to check this interview out. There's a new bill, a Canadian bill that could send Christians to jail for simply quoting the Bible. Check this out.
Jeff, you're warning about a new Canadian bill, C-367. You've said that this bill could threaten Canadians' public expressions of faith. This is deeply concerning. What can you tell us about this proposal?
Well, I would say, so first of all, it amends the criminal code, and it takes away some religious exemptions that protected Christians. So if you're in the United States, we saw the same kind of thing with the Equality Act that the Biden administration was trying to pass. And basically, it creates hate speech laws. Some of those have already advanced in Canada, but Christians were protected. They said, well, if they're saying biblical things, or if they're saying things according to their faith, whether that's Quranic or biblical or whatever, they're protected. And this is the alarming thing, is that this strips those out. There is no protection.
Wow.
And as always, this is what the dictators and the despots do overseas to strangle Christianity or whatever faith. You know, they say, oh, we have religious freedom, but not in the public sphere. So it's the same game. It's the same game being advanced around the Western world, and even what we saw again with the Equality Act in the United States.
Well, and I think we have to put this against the backdrop, those who would dismiss concern about this, of what is going on all over the world, especially in the West. Look at Pavi Räsänen in Finland.
Yes.
Look at, I mean, yes. Case after case after case, she's been exonerated twice, essentially, and now they're, yep, now they're appealing it to the Supreme Court. So there's, yep, a real move here in multiple countries to go, yep, after people of faith. You know, how is the bill, and this is always interesting to me, how is it being promoted? Because, of course, they're not going out there and saying, we want to crack down on Christianity. How are they promoting this?
That's great. Yeah, so these, you know, hate speech laws, they're always being promoted to for the common good in one way or another. So,
if you guys have been following our ministry, how many times have I warned about this? For years, I've been saying that under the shroud of hate crime legislations, they will attempt to silence Christians, and they will call this book a threat. And here it is. It's here now, guys. Are you paying attention? Are you awake?
Whether that's, we're going to protect LGBTQ followers, or, you know, those people as a class of people, or for anti-Semitism, you know, it almost doesn't matter, because the hate speech laws always create division. They always create hatred. And look, these things always smack of banana republic, because very simply, here's how this thing works. This is people who are elected in a democracy, and it's almost like the Marxists. They get elected in a democracy, and they use the laws of the state, and they twist them, and they dismantle them. They dismantle the protections and go after their political enemies. It's total banana republic stuff. It's just not seen that way, but it should be.
All right, so what's the point of this? Again, when you remove this book, when you remove the Bible, remove the Word of God, you remove Christians, you remove the restrainer, then iniquity will abound. So can you, now are y'all seeing this? Everything is culminating. It's coming to a head. Now we're going to shift gears and get into what most of you guys have probably been looking forward to, and that is, I want to give you an update. We're going to talk about the red heifers. Ever since these heifers were airlifted to Israel around probably about a year ago, and they were about a year old at that time. They went there and they were prepared and conditioned for a sacrifice again, all around, centered around, don't miss this, the third temple to be built in Jerusalem. Now, not only are, again, Christians are paying attention to this, the Messianic believers are paying attention to this, even the Orthodox Jews are paying attention to this, but even the enemies of Israel have been paying attention to this. Again, we talked about a recent report wherein which Hamas was paying close attention to the developments, and they... there was many reports circulating saying that the major reason for the attack that was carried out on October 7th in Israel was to try to stop, thwart the attempts of building or rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. So the ashes of this red heifer that they need, this is the final missing piece of this third temple project. Now, according to the latest report that I've received from the sources I've gathered, we are literally only months away from falling into place. And literally, it could be less than that. These ashes are biblically mandated according to the mandated purification ritual that is found in Numbers chapter 19. Again, without the heifer's ashes, these red heifers, priests and Levites currently in training with the Temple Institute are disqualified from serving in a future rebuilt temple. Furthermore, with all the bloodshed on the Temple Mount down through the centuries, the mount itself must be cleansed before the temple can be built. Again, this is why they're doing this, guys. So here, this is what we're gathering right now. It looks as though the red heifers are ready to go. And if the red heifers are ready to go, they're going to be used for the purification. And if this is the last puzzle piece, if this is the last thing that needs to be in place for the ceremonial ritual of the purification rituals and everything that needs to be put in place for the building of this temple, again, this implies that they want to do this on Passover of next month. But here's the problem. Here lies the problem. It's going to be very interesting. Now, I'm not saying that this is going to be fulfilled next month. What I am saying is they have intentions to get everything ready in Passover of April next month. By the way, is again, y'all know this, it's the same month as of this great American eclipse, which has all kinds of ramifications and prophetic significance behind it. I believe it's a harbinger. And again, we've done multiple segments on that. Okay. But again, let me circle back around and get back to this. There is still roadblocks. Don't misunderstand this. One report said that the temple rebuilt project, the rebuilding of this temple, the reconstruction of this temple, this third temple, still has unrealistic expectations because of the current environment. Now, what are they talking about? They're talking about the political aspects. We're talking about Israel's in the middle of a war right now. So in the natural, it looks like it will be impossible for this to actually be fulfilled next month. So guys, as much as I'd love to come on here and tell you that we are going to see the beginning initial stages of the third temple being built next month, it right now, the odds of that are stacked against this. So what is the Temple Institute going to do? Are they going to hold off on the sacrifice of this? Are they going to hold off on the advancement of trying to build this third temple? Will this be held off until maybe the fall months? What if there's a peace? What if there's a truce that comes, a ceasefire that comes with Israel and Hamas, and everything calms down, and then they go forward, and maybe the fall of this month during Rosh Hashanah or whatever the case would be, and then maybe they advance it then? I don't know. I'm just telling you, this is what it looks like right now. They're dealing with a lot of opposition right now. In the natural, I don't see how they're going to be able to move forward with building this third temple and the purification using these red heifers because of the current climate and environment that they're dealing with right now in Israel. But listen, we're still 30 days out. A lot can change. Things can shift. Listen, here's the bottom line. If we're coming into that fulfillment and that fullness of time, then God himself, guys, you can't fight Bible prophecy. You can pray. You can intercede. We might be able to, God, through our prayers and our intercession, there might be a reprieve, but you can't stop it. And if it's time, it's time, and there ain't nothing we can do about it. But come on, buckle up and hang in there for the ride that we're about to endure. This was a piece from Enoch Lavender, and this is what he said. The Temple Institute speak of the shame they would feel if they were given the go-ahead to build the temple tomorrow and were caught completely unprepared. They have therefore spent many years in meticulous preparation and training for that day to come, and the ashes of the red heifer will mark the crowning achievement of this preparation. While many Israelis are unaware of these developments, so too is much of the church. Just as he promised, Jesus is soon returning to this earth to rule, and these developments point us to the nearness of his coming. Again, so the bottom line is, guys, everything, listen, I know some of you are very disappointed that Brother Ricky didn't get on here today and say that the third temple is going to be started next month in Jerusalem. But the reason why I started, let me go back to the beginning of everything I said, and let me recap this. I said, watch for these three main, I call it the three main ingredients to bring about the fulfillment of what the prophet saw and the arrival of the Antichrist or his appearance. Number one, what did I say? There's Jerusalem, the holy city, the temple in Jerusalem, and the spirit of lawlessness. The lawlessness will abound and it will reach its fullness, and then the Antichrist will be revealed. And when here's consequently in 2 Thessalonians 2, it implies here that there will already be a temple in place, because when he appears, he will take his headquarters and position it in Jerusalem in the temple. And there he will rule for 42 months from Jerusalem, the holy city, and right there at the temple. And remember, the false prophet will work hand in hand with him, and he will set up that image on the pinnacle of the temple and thus fulfill what Daniel saw, Jesus reminded us of, and the apostle Paul comes back after the resurrection of Christ, warns the church of Thessalonica when they're all freaking out about we've missed the rapture, we've missed the coming of the Lord. And he says, no, when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what restrains him, the Antichrist, from being revealed. And he goes over, he gives all these clues, and today we pointed out some of these things. So listen, here's the bottom line. This is still exciting, because Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things, he didn't say, when you see all these things come to pass, or when you get to the end of all these things, or when you get to the appearance of the Antichrist, the manifestation of the Antichrist, when you see the Temple Mount. No, he said, when you, come on, somebody talk to me. What does he say? When you begin to see all of these things coming to pass, then you look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Guys, listen, do me a favor, hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that push notification. Again, this is how you're going to keep up with our content. I pray that you would share this with your friends, your family, your coworkers, your acquaintances. Get the word out. Let them know that we are living in the times in which the prophets foretold, Jesus warned about, and the Bible has told us of. Again, if you've not downloaded our free app, this is how I want you to keep up with our ministry. Get it today, Apple, Android store, download it. Hit yes to push notifications. Listen, if you're listening today, if you're watching the video of this, in the description of this video, there's a link that says download our free app. Just click on that link and you can get your free app today. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry informs you, equips you, encourages you, all of the above, week after week after week, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner of our ministry. There's two ways you can do that. You can give electronically through the main website or through the app. That's the easiest way, or you can give by check or money order and make it out there right there on the screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia 30655. So, guys, I hope you have an exciting weekend, a safe weekend, a blessed weekend. We're going to sign off on this Friday, March 8th. We plan on, Lord willing, to be back right back here on Monday. What is that? March 11th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to have a whole full week, again, of great content. We'll have equipping messages. We'll have probably prophetic viewpoints, talking points. So we've got a full lineup. So we hope to see you guys right back here again on Monday for another great segment. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you in a few days.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.